Turn to 1 John 4, 7 through 14. 1 John 4, 7 through 14. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you for just bringing us here to just hear your word, God. I just pray, Lord, that your Spirit will guide us today, Lord, that you'll just, you will be our guide, that you'll be the one we lean on, Lord, and that your Spirit will show us and teach us how to love. In your name we pray. Amen. So actually, chapter 4, 7 through chapter 5, verse 4, is now showing and teaching us that God's true children will reflect his character. The book of 1 John is a book constantly teaching us to love like God. Actually, just as I was before I came up and I was just praying, I was thinking back of when I went to visit my brother in Cameroon. And my sister-in-law was telling how the first year, because both my brothers got married within 2 weeks of each other. And they happened to be, they spent a lot of time that first year together, and they were learning, you know, my sister-in-laws were both learning the patterns of my brothers. And I remember her, Allie, saying, she had to tell my brother that she and Heather, my other sister-in-law, didn't understand what meant. Because my brothers would communicate with each other, we're like, and then one would go up and get the other one a drink. Because they so know each other so well, they don't actually even need to talk with each other to understand or communicate. They just are in sync with each other. And I think God was reminding me of this because one of the very first thing in verse 7 he's talking about is that we are from God. And this is a language that is reminding us that we are born of him. But actually, I mean, we're not technically born of him. And so it's this idea of adoption coming back through. And when we become adopted, we have this new identity, and our DNA changes and it shifts. And so when my sister-in-laws came into my family, they had to understand how we communicate. Now, they can call out some things that we should change to be better. But at the same time, they had to understand and they started to figure out what it meant to be a Westerate, how we worked. And so she's like, drives me nuts, your brother doesn't talk. And I was like, I kind of like it because, like, you know, it's quiet. You know, we went on a canoe ride on this river and we didn't have to talk to each other. We knew each other's patterns. And it was really nice. But when you became part of this family of God, we had to understand how to be part of that family, this new way, this new shift, this new life in him. As his children, we are in many ways entitled to him. Right? Oftentimes, we don't think about the fact that we are entitled to his time. Now, we're not entitled because we are elitist or because we've done anything. We're entitled to our time with him because he wants us. He wants to build a relationship with him. He wants us to call him us his father and us his children. And when we think about fathers or mothers, if you are busy with work, if you're busy with travel, you know, anything in life that makes you so busy, we know that's a barrier to building a relationship with your child. But God is completely reverse of that. God, when he takes us as his children, he has all the time in the world for us. It's us that he's asking us to come and build that time with him. And once we build that time with him, that's when we start to shift and change. He wants us to claim time with him. He wants us to be like, this is my time with you, God. God is available all the time for us. He wants us to claim it. You know, this weekend, I think most of us who heard Bob Sorge preach have been changed. I mean, every person I've talked to has talked about how their house church had such this powerful, powerful time of talking and so many nuggets of just life-changing thoughts. Nothing necessarily completely new, but just for some reason the way he presented it, just, I don't know about it, it just changed a lot of perspective. And one of the things that comes with being God's child is that he also disciplines us. He guides us. That's the thing. When he disciplines us, he's also guiding us. And we see in this passage, he talks about the Holy Spirit being in us, guiding us. And part of guidance is that discipline, but it's also listening and learning to walk his ways, to follow him. John is also trying to remind us of where we came from. What was the original? What was God's original plan in the beginning of time? His language reflects God's act of making people one with him and restoring the image that God intended for humanity at the very beginning. So God is our Father, and he really is trying to drive that home. Actually, I was watching a little clip on the Bible Project this morning, and it was saying that 1 John, nothing is new. As you read through 1 John, there's nothing new presented. Everything can be found in Jesus' teaching in the book of John. But John, once again, is continually reminding us because we forget. We forget our identity. We forget who we are. We forget who we belong to. And people try to come and deceive and change and make us see something different that's not true. And they're easily trying to lead us astray. And here John is reminding us, God is our Father. What does that look like? The second part that stood out to me in this is God's love. Now, I know we come to church and we hear all the time about God's love. And this statement that God is love and we have to be like God's loved. But John is not making an abstract statement. He's making a very straightforward, God is love. Now, this is what love is. The point is that what love is how God demonstrated love. It's not what the world tells us what love is. It's not what we want love to be. Love is simply the demonstration that Jesus did for us on the cross. That is what we understand love to be. Love is sacrificial. Love is not about you and what you get out of something. It's about sacrificing. God demonstrated this love by going on the cross while we were yet sinners. Think about that. I know we've heard it before, but while we were yet sinners, he was willing to sacrifice himself. Not the best part of you he died for you, the worst part. I was reflecting on that sacrifice, and I was wondering, how are we willing to sacrifice for others to demonstrate God's love? I met with one of my Noah's Ark teachers yesterday, and they were talking about their schedule, and I was like, you know, I love not being busy. I love Saturdays to myself. I love Mondays to myself. I like leaving church at 5 o'clock and going home and being by myself. I love my own time, almost to a point it's really quite unhealthy. I love all the time in the world I can get to myself. And I was thinking about how much am I actually sacrificing for other people? And I want to make it clear, I do sacrifice time. I do spend time with people. I do meet with people who need help. But I was reminded, Jesus died willingly. He did it with joy. I mean, we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't happy. He was sad. Like, he was very emotional. He knew what was coming. But yet he willingly, joyfully gave up his life for us. And it made me think, do I willingly, joyfully give up my time to sacrifice for people so they can see God's love? Or do I do it out of obligation? Now, am I saying that we should only do things when we feel that love? No, sometimes you do have to do things out of obligation. But I was really thinking about that yesterday as I was preparing. Why am I doing it? What's the point? When I'm truly trying to demonstrate God's love, that sacrificial love for somebody, they can read through the lines oftentimes if you're just sitting there because you know you should be, versus you really want to spend time with them. You really want to share God's love with them. Both are necessary because sometimes we just don't feel it and we do it. But that what God is trying to get us is that transforming our hearts so that when we meet with people, when we serve people, when we're out in the world, there's this joy that's in us that's changing from day to day. And it's not perfect, and we're not going to be perfect as we do it. But he's really trying to get us to be changed and renewed so we have this love and this joy that doesn't look like happiness. Joy is not happiness. But it's just, we know the source of our strength to do this sacrifice comes from God. Because God willingly sacrificed himself, it wasn't by chance, it wasn't at a random time. God specifically chose a time in history to come and die. Do we specifically choose times to set aside to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? Jesus didn't randomly come 2,000 years ago. It was a very strategic point in history. It's before the Roman Empire died. It's when those trade routes were spreading throughout the world, where the gospel would be able to spread. And it was so specific. And when we sacrifice, do we think about, are we speaking at the right time? Are we going at the right time? Are we being quiet at the right time? And that was something God was actually really reminding me of. It's not always about doing, doing, doing. It's about, God, when do I go? You know, he talks about the Holy Spirit as our guide, listening and dwelling in the Holy Spirit to know when to step and do. The third thing that really struck me in this was the reconciliation with God. Right? This idea, this propitiation, is where we refer about both the death and resurrection, the significance of that sacrifice and life is what makes us be able to do this. I don't know if you guys follow the news, but I think it's a Russian journalist, the Ukrainian government, I think it's the Ukrainian government, found out that there was a plot to kill him. And so they staged this whole thing to basically make it look like he was murdered, right? So they could catch the perpetrator. And I just saw a tiny little clip of when he comes out and basically shows the world he's actually not dead. And you see his coworker jumping for joy, like, we were crying because you were dead, but you are alive. Do we jump for joy because Jesus is alive? He didn't just die, right? Like, this journalist, people thought he sacrificed his life to bring truth about what's happening in the world politically, you know, sacrificing himself. He knew the threats against himself, and he was willing to do it. People thought he didn't actually die. It's a little different, I mean, obviously a little different than what Jesus did. But yet, watching his friends jump for joy when they realized, our friend isn't dead. How much more joy comes when we know Jesus isn't dead? He's alive. And do we share that joy with people? How do we respond to this? How do we walk with this? How do we love people? You know, how do we love people in both word and action? It's both. We need to use our words and we need to act and show love. Do we show the world that his spirit lives in us? Or do we just talk about it? Do we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us? You know, one of the things it says is no man has ever seen God unless, but you get a glimpse of God when you love somebody. Right? Moses says, show me your glory. Actually, when the song was playing, it was talking about love of God and glory. You know, the glory of God. I was like, well, it's kind of fitting to what I was about to share, the last song that was playing. Moses is like, show me your glory. And I don't remember the guy's name, but I was reading and he's like, we are craving God's glory, but yet when we love, we bring God's glory. Right? Moses, he got to only see and glimpse the back of God. But we get to see God's love and true character in each other when we demonstrate God's sacrificial love to one another. You know, on my way home, I was having dinner last night, and on my way home in the taxi, I was just reflecting about this morning. And I said it earlier, but God was like, Mary, I also died for the worst of you. Like me, not like the worst people. The worst things I've ever done, I died for you, Mary. I think this morning, there's a few things. I'm going to ask the you guys to come. Are you both doing it? Come on up. I just want you guys to just reflect on God's love, what he's done for you, and really just spend, you know, Pastor Bob was talking about how we need to look back a year. Let's take time to reflect a year, 2 years ago. Are we sharing God's love today more than we once did? But are we doing it out of his power in that lives in us or out of our own strength? Let God just kind of show you, where are you acting? Where are you doing all your anything from? And just let God speak to you and show you and just, but then also reflect. You know, maybe you're not there yet because none of us are there yet. But are you showing God's love sacrificially more than last year, more than the year, more than 10 years ago? And just allow God to speak. And if there's areas that you need to be reminded of how much he loves you, like that very worst part of you, those things that no one even knows, to remember that God died even for that and that you can give it to him and he will take it. So let's just spend some time with God this morning.
Thank you.
let's just spend some time praying for those in our community who are battling cancer. Let's pray for them to really just know God's love, that they can be transformed by it, that the Holy Spirit is just their comforter in this time. Let's pray for those going through chemo and radiation therapy, that through that process they know the true healer is Jesus, and that they can really just keep their eyes focused on God during this time. We also just pray for complete healing for everyone on this list. Lift up those in our community who have family and friends who are sick but also need to need salvation. Let's just pray that God will bring his healing and his redemption into their life. May their eyes be open to him, and may their bodies be healed by his hands. Pray for those who are suffering from other various infirmities. Let's just pray for God to really just heal them. May they just really stay, even in this time of difficulty and sickness, that they will keep their eyes focused on God. Pray for those searching for jobs. Let's pray for God's favor. Let's pray for God's favor in interviews with the right opportunities. May they just really hear God as they seek out which places to go, what job to take, and that they can really just follow his lead. Go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Peace Sophia. Let's pray for Cambodia, Grace, Oasis House, and Pijeni O. Let's just pray that God will really just lead and guide. Let's just pray that hearts will be open and eyes will see the truth of Jesus, and that God will really be glorified in Japan and Cambodia. Pray for our mission council. Let's just pray that God will really just lead and guide them, that in this time of transition, that God will it will just be handed over well, and that God will just really even unite them even more than they already are, and that God will really just give him his vision for the people of the world. Pray for local outreach, Agape, Homies, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, Recreation. Let's pray for their leaders, Tim, Janelle, and all the lay leaders as well. Let's just pray that God will just, just use them and just guide them. And let's just pray that we can be a church that's known as being a light in this city. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's just pray for baby Sunghoi and baby Sam. Let's just pray that God will bring them home, bring them to their forever families, that anything that's getting in the way of this being able to happen, that it will just be cleared out and that they can go home to their mom and their dads. Let's pray for our Friday evening gatherings, IP, SPU, SP Youth, especially as they're doing Youth Alpha. Let's just pray that God will really be known in each of these places, and especially for SP Youth, that people who are coming and don't yet know Jesus, these kids will really know who he is, and they'll ask questions, and their hearts will really receive him. For our house churches, Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, Tavistock. Let's just pray that living in community can be transformed, that they can really just discuss and just grow and laugh and have fun together, and that God's Spirit will just guide their leaders into discussions tonight. For upcoming events, our parenting seminar, which is next weekend, 8th and 9th, for Pastor Eric Lehman and his wife and kids who are all coming. Let's just pray that they can really just hear from God on what to share with our parents and our future parents who will be coming out to learn and just really grow in their family life. Let's also pray for our SP annual retreat. Let's pray for Bobby Connor and RT Kendall. Let's just pray that their messages will bring unity to one another and to our church, that they will be united in thought, that God will just reveal to them what it is that he is using them to speak to us, and that we can just all come out and nothing, no schedule conflicts. Everyone who's supposed to be there will be there, and just the planning will go well and all the logistics. And let's just cover our annual retreat. We can also lift up SP Singapore. Their retreat started last night, and today they're making their way into Malaysia. Let's just pray for Pastor Benjamin, who's preaching there. Let's just pray that they can really just enjoy the presence of God. Some of their teachers went out last night to set up, so just pray for the children's ministry as well. They have like 100 kids, so let's just, I don't know if that's how many are there, but they have about 100 kids in their church. So let's just pray for their retreat. P. Sam is there, along with Elise and Emma. So God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us, God. We thank you that you sacrificed yourself, God. That we thank you that John really wanted us to know, to not be deceived, that what you've done for us, it was out of your love. And out of that love, that's what true love is, and that we can follow your ways, God. I pray, Lord, today that we can seek you and find you, that we'll know and hear your voice, God, that your Spirit will guide us as we go to work, as we interact with our family, with our friends, Lord, and that we can really just reflect your true love in this city. So I just thank you and I love you. In your name we pray. Amen.